Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this beautiful Lord's day. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody else excited about being here today? I tell you what, we've been doing Disciple Now, D-Now, for the last couple of days, and it has just been a blessing. Donna and I had about six ninth grade beauties in our home, and that was a blessing. I tell you what, we will never forget that. No, I mean that in a good way. I really do, ladies. They were great. Hey, today is the final Sunday that of our emphasis for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We have received right at $10,000 for that offering, and I just want to say, God bless you. Thank you, church, for being faithful. Every penny that is given through that offering goes to support missions right here in North America, church planters and church starting movements, and that is just exciting to be a part of what God is doing just right here in our own on our own continent. So I just want to say thank you, and the Lord bless you. Also, the theme for our church, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this in the sermon, and you'll be hearing some more about it later on, is for our next several months anyway, is Church Outside the Walls. That's going to be our theme. Every member on missions, or every member a missionary. And so as a part of that, we are, as a church, joining with several other churches who are going to be a part of a mission effort in Bulgaria. And Chuck Beam, our associate pastor, is going to be leading us in that. And if you would be interested in perhaps even this summer going to Bulgaria, there's a couple of slots open. Right after the morning worship service, right down over here, Chuck is going to be, and he's going to have some information about Bulgaria missions. And we'd love for you just to take one of those things and pray about it, and we'll be talking some more about that. All right? Are we ready to worship this morning? Huh? Are you ready to worship? Do you know that we serve a living Savior? Does anybody know that Jesus lives today? I was wondering if anybody knew that. And do you know what? He is here today. So let's stand and let's join our hearts in worship as we worship Him. Oh, wait a minute. I think y'all need to be seated because choir's going to sing. Sorry. You can worship while you're seated as we begin worship this morning. Sorry.
Amen. Great to have you in worship this morning. What a great way to start our worship time this morning. Taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, the north, south, east, and west, goes right along with our theme of church outside the walls. That's who we are as a church and who we want to become if we're not. And we need to be that church that has the vision to reach the world in our area for Christ. This morning, I just want us to worship Him and to praise Him. Would you stand with me now? And let's sing, I will boast. I will boast in the Lord my God.
Thank you.
It is so good to have you in worship today. We're thrilled. And if you're visiting with us, there is a tear-off section in your worship guide that we would love to have you take and fill that out. I mentioned in the early service, it's really important for us to get these. We like to know who visits with us, and if you're a member of our church, there's ways for you to communicate with us on that tear-off. So please take that and use it. We love to get those in the office. It just lets us know who is visiting, and also what's going on in your heart. They're a place for prayer requests and just your thoughts about our church and thoughts about things that are going on. So please use those and communicate with us in the church office. We are so glad that you're here. Would you take a moment this morning, move across the aisles, and find someone that is 10 years older than you are today, and shake their hand and tell them you're glad they're here. Did you find someone 10 years older than you? I bet you did. Listen, we are blessed today to experience the great picture of what has already happened in a person's heart on the inside, and now they're going to be showing it to us and to others on the outside, and that's the ordinance of baptism that God gave us, the picture of a changed life.
Good morning. This is Devin Scritney. You can cheer. It's all right. This is a happy occasion. It's allowed. Yeah, here we go. And Devin has come this morning in profession of faith, following the Lord in obedience and baptism. And before we go any further, I would like to invite you, if you are a family member of Devin's, or if you have had any, if you know Devin and walk with him along with his walk in Christ, I'm sorry, I'm stumbling a little bit. I've been at D now all week. But if you know what I mean. If you've had a part in Devin's life at all, I would invite you now to stand as a sign of encouragement to him. And Devin, this is a cloud of witnesses that is surrounding you as people who love you and walk with you in the Lord. I just have a question to ask you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in atonement for your sin and rose again that you may rise to walk in newness of life? Right. Then on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Lord, our prayer is that you would show us the vision that you have for us, not something we could imagine or cook up, but God, something that you've laid on our hearts as a church. And may it be something that we can sink our teeth into and get into, God, and just follow you. God, that's what we want more than anything. We want to be in the center of your plan and your will for our lives, God. And God, I pray, God, that you would give every person in this place a desire to pray for that, to seek that, and to look for that in their lives as individuals, God. God, that we might plug in and be everything that you've called us to be as First Baptist Church of Missouri, this community, and to the world. God, we love you with our lives. Help us to serve you, to be obedient to you, and do the things that you've called us to do. In your name I pray. Amen.
I have found myself a secret space. Precious Heavenly Father, first, Lord, I want to thank you for blessing this church. I really believe that you have blessed us, Lord, and that you continue to bless us. Lord, just take our offering, Lord, and multiply it and use it all throughout this land and all throughout the world, Lord, as we spread your word as you asked us to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
If you have your Bibles this morning, why don't you open them with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 29. I tell you what, I am just so excited, aren't you? Huh? Well, there's a few people who are excited, but I tell you, I am just so excited. I mean, this week was opening day of baseball season, and so we've got baseball back. And man, I tell you, I just know that this is the year for my Texas Rangers, and I wouldn't be surprised that the Rangers and the Astros And let me finish. The Rangers and the Astros are going to be right there in the World Series, right? I mean, don't you think so? I'm not going to pick a winner yet, but at least neither team is mathematically eliminated. That'll be next week probably, but I tell you, you know, baseball to me it really is the national pastime because, you know, it reminds me of when I was a little boy and I just loved to play baseball just to get out on the field. I didn't always know exactly what I was doing out on the field, but I was just so excited. You know, that first time I put on my Little League uniform and I was a part of the team and I was out there on the field. Anybody remember anything like that? See if this right here communicates to you. Watch this.
Saturday summers, when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains and we'd choose up the team. Was always a measure of my self-esteem, 'cause the fastest, strongest played shortstop and first. The last ones they picked were the worst. I never needed to ask. It was Seals that just took up my place in right field, playing right field. It's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Playing right field can be lonely and dull. Little leagues never have lefties that pull. Dream of the day they'd hit one my way. They never did, but still I would pray that I'd make a fantastic catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this long reverie and pray that the ball never came out to me. Here in right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward and you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling and I don't know what for. And then suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above, and a baseball falls into my.
Playing right field. Not really sure exactly what's going on, but that's a ball player. I don't know. That was me. Anybody can identify with that? Yeah. You know, the tragedy about that is there's a lot of churches, a lot of Christians who are in this church game, kind of out there in right field and got the uniform on and, you know, got the glove, but really not sure what this whole church game is about. And there's a lot of churches that way too. This morning I want to talk to you about God's vision for our church. What it means to have God's vision. I really want to define it for you this morning, and then next week and in the weeks that follow we're going to flesh it out a little bit more. I kind of hesitate even to give you a definition because there's been some famous words said about definition. Duke Ellington, who is the the world famous jazz musician, once said he was asked about rhythm. And he said, if you got rhythm, you don't need no definition. He said, if you ain't got it, no definition will matter to you. When we talk about vision, I kind of have that hesitation that if we got it, we really don't need a definition. And if we don't have it, then no definition is going to matter. But I'm going to try to offer it to you this way, or this morning anyway. This is what I would say about God's vision for a church. And I'm talking about God's vision for any church, but particularly for our church, because that's what we really care about. What does it mean to have God's vision for our church? Well, God's vision is this. God's vision is a reflection of what God wants to accomplish through us to build His kingdom. It is a reflection of what God wants to do. Now notice this, it's all about Him. It's not about what we choose or we think or we decide we're going to do for God. It's what God wants to do through us to build His kingdom. Because you know that God is on mission in this world. He is walking through this world and He is building a kingdom. Jesus said that. Jesus said that the kingdom of God has come. And it had come with Him. And then when He died and rose again and then ascended into heaven, He left His church. That's us. He left His church to keep building the kingdom. God says, I've put a church right here in Brazoria County, right smack dab in the middle of it. And I'm going to use that church to build my kingdom, if that church will let me. And so, brothers and sisters, what I want to tell you this morning is that God's vision for us is a reflection of what He wants to do, or He wants to accomplish through us to build His kingdom right here. I want you to look with me at the book of Proverbs chapter 29. And we're just going to look at one verse, verse 18. I'm actually going to give you two different Bible versions, the New International Version and the King James Version, because the wording is a little bit different and it's kind of confusing, but it really does communicate to us, and so it fits in for me this morning. In the New International Version, which is what I'll read from first, Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law." Where there is no revelation, and you might, if you're reading from NIV, you might just circle that word. The people cast off restraint. And that word restraint is going to be important to us in a minute also, so you might underline it. Now, the King James is a little bit different. In the King James Version, this is what it says. Where there is no vision, come on, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now, do you see that word vision? The NIV translates it revelation. And the word perish there, the King James, or the NIV translates it cast off restraint. Hold on to those two things. Vision, revelation, restraint, or perish. We're going to put all that together here as we go through this sermon. I want to tell you about God's vision for the church. And I'm going to mention three things. What it means to have God's vision, and what God's vision is. Remember, we've defined it as a reflection of what God wants to accomplish through us to build His kingdom. Now, let me just show you a couple of things about it. First of all, this. God's vision is revelation. It is revelation. That word that is translated in your New International Version, that where there is no revelation, it literally means prophetic revelation. It's talking about God speaking to a man or God speaking to a people, telling them what He desires to do in them, to them, through them, by them. Okay? It is the revelation of God. King James translates it vision. And what it's talking about is the vision or the glory of God. And so the Scripture says that what happens or this thing that God wants to do with us is something that He is going to show us. And when we get that, that's the only thing that's really going to matter. Let me give you a couple of examples. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Bible is Isaiah chapter 6. You familiar with that passage? In Isaiah 6:1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, And then Isaiah goes through the description. He's there in the temple and he sees this grand and glorious vision of the exalted God. In fact, he is so big, this God, that the hem of his garment fills the temple. The biggest thing that Isaiah knew anything about or could imagine. And so he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he saw the angels of God. They were flying around and they were shouting out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And then Isaiah recognized that he was a sinful man. He said, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the God of all glory. And then remember, he saw the angel go down and take a coal off the altar and touch his lips and say, see here, I've cleansed you. And then in verse 8 of that 6th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah hears a voice. Turns out to be the voice of God. Isaiah 6:8 says, And then I heard the Lord say, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? I want you to notice that he didn't say, Whom shall I send to Syria? Or whom shall I send across the street? Or whom shall I send over to Lake Jackson? He just said, Whom shall I send? In other words, Isaiah didn't know exactly what he was talking about or where he was talking about or what was going on. But God said, I've got something going on and I want to send somebody. And do you remember the answer that Isaiah gave? Like a little schoolboy, really. This is the picture that I get in my mind. He said, Here am I, send me. That's not really what he said. It was more like, Here am I! I'll go! Send me! Now, if that were us, we wouldn't have done that, right? I mean, we wouldn't have. Because what we would have done, we would have said, God, what exactly are you talking about? I mean, where do you want to send somebody? And what's going to happen when we get there? And how long is it going to take? And is it going to interfere with baseball practice this evening? And by the way, Survivor comes on Thursday night. And will it mess that up? But if it doesn't mess that any of that up and you can articulate those things for me, God, then I'll think about it, right? I mean, right? But Isaiah never did that. Isaiah just heard, he saw the Lord and God said, I'm going somewhere and I'm sending somebody. And Isaiah said, I want to go. And we might have said, Isaiah, are you crazy? He didn't even say where. Isaiah said, I don't care where. I've seen the Lord. You understand? When you get the vision of God, nothing else matters. That's it. And that's why, brothers and sisters, that we come together in worship. We worship individually, we worship corporately. That is to get the vision of God. You know, there's another passage of Scripture I actually preached on a couple of weeks ago in Acts chapter 9, where Saul of Tarsus is walking down a road one day. Remember that? And something happened, and that something was someone, and that someone was Jesus, and he changed his life. You remember that? Anybody? I know it's been a couple of weeks ago. Thank you, brother. There's one guy who remembers it. But it changed his life. And Saul of Tarsus went from the persecutor of the church to the guy who went to the ends of the earth, literally, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, finally laying his head down on a stone so his head could be taken off. Why would Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, go to the man who takes the gospel to the ends of the earth? Why? Because he saw the Lord. That's why. He got this vision of God and what God was doing. And man, nothing else mattered after that. He wanted to be a part of that. Do you understand? When God reveals Himself to us, that really is all that matters. So the vision of God is revelation. I mean, you understand that what we're seeking here is not something that we come up with ourselves. Right? God never says, hey, y'all decide what y'all want to do and then as best you can do it and maybe it'll all work out for you. Honestly, I had a pastor friend in Stanford, Texas when I was pastoring in Avoca. And he pastored a church there in Stanford. And we were talking one day about, you know, what was happening in our church. And I said, man, how do you do it? What's your leadership style? And he said, I'll tell you what I do. I asked the people, what do you want to do? This is what he would do. So he'd come before the church and he would say, what do you all want to do? What do we think we want to do? And he said, then everybody would write stuff down and we would talk about it and we would decide what we want to do. And then I would help lead the church to do that. In other words, he saw himself as the pastor, as kind of the organizer of the church events. You know, whatever the folks wanted to do, then that's what we did. Do you know that I love this brother. This guy's a friend of mine. But I had to tell him, man, that is not biblical. I mean, think about it. God never said to his people, hey, y'all figure out what you want to do. And then once you get that figured out, then, you know, I'll help you do what you want to do. That's not what God says. That's not what we are to the people. What God says is here I am. And this is the way I'm going. And you might not be able to see the end yet. And you might not be able to understand all that's happening. The question is this, will you go with me? That's the question. And what I'm saying is when God reveals himself to us, then there really is only one answer. Yeah, Lord, here am I. Send me. Okay? God's vision for us is revelation. And one of the things that we do together as we worship is we try to catch that glimpse of God's glorious vision so that we might be a church that follows Him. Second thing I want you to know about the vision of God is that it is reflection. I said this in the definition, and that really is kind of the best definition I can come up with. God's vision is a reflection of what God wants to do or accomplish through us to build His kingdom. When I say reflection, I'm talking about it actually is dependent upon what God has already done within us. Now, you understand that a church is, there's a difference between mission and vision, right? Last week I talked to us about our mission. Our mission is already given to us. We don't have to wonder what God's mission is. You know that, right? It's called the Great Commission. It's spelled out for us right there in Matthew chapter 28. If you're not sure about it, just this afternoon, get your Bible out and read Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's called the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make disciples, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, all that. That is the mission. And by the way, that is every church's mission. Every church has the same mission. Every true church has the same mission. But the vision, that is how God is going to work that mission out, is different for each church. It is as different for us as we are unique. And we are a unique or a peculiar people. Amen? I mean, I'll tell you something. There's not any church around here that's just like our church. There's not. And I'm not talking about quality. I don't think there's any better church around here than our church. But, you know, maybe I'm a little prejudiced. But there's not any church exactly the way we are. We're different. We're peculiar. And what God does is He gave us all the same mission. We have the same mission as First Baptist Lake Jackson. We've got the same mission as First Baptist Houston. We've got the same mission as the biggest church in the world, which is over in Seoul, South Korea. We have the same mission. But our vision is going to be different because God is going to use us in ways that are different than He's going to use the folks over in Lake Jackson or Houston or Seoul, South Korea. Why? Because we're all different. There's no other church exactly like us. Let me give you an example of this in Scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, the gospel has moved from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. And now we're at the launching point to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, I just want you to know that in Acts 13, there were a lot of different local bodies, local congregations around. But there was one in particular that's written about here. And it's found in a little town called Antioch. And in Acts 13, 1, it says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Now, notice this. Even in the church, there were different kinds of people. Some were prophets, some were teachers. Not everybody was a prophet, not everybody was a teacher. Okay, so there are different kinds of people, prophets and teachers. And then he lists some of them. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now he lists these different folks. Now notice this. None of those guys were in any other church around there. None of those guys were in the church in Jerusalem. None of them were in the church in Damascus or wherever. They were all right there in the church at Antioch. The church at Antioch was different from any other church. And then look at what happened in verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said... Now notice this. Here's the revelation. They were worshiping the Lord. They had come before the Lord, and part of it was, God, it is all about You, not about us. We're not here trying to figure out what we want to do, Lord. We just want to see You. And so as they were worshiping the Lord, as they were laying their lives down before Him and fasting, as they were worshiping and fasting, it says that the Holy Spirit then spoke and said, "Set apart for Me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now I want you to notice that under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the church at Antioch was faithful to send out missionaries, and those first missionaries went to Asia Minor, and then they finally went over to Europe and really to the uttermost parts of the world. It began right there. And it started as a vision of God and what He was doing and what He had to say. And then it worked through the people of God uniquely. No other church around there did exactly what the church at Antioch did. Now, brothers and sisters, that's the same way with us. There is no other church that's going to have God's vision exactly the same as we do, because we are unique. It's kind of like this. If you were to go and look in a mirror, right, what are you going to see? Well, you're going to see, first of all, when you look in a mirror, and this is true of every one of us, you're going to see an image of God. Right? And you guys have been studying that this week, in D Now, right, or this weekend. You were created how? In the image of God. Doesn't that say, the Bible says that somewhere, right? Okay. I thought it did. We were all created in the image of God. When you look in the mirror, okay, let me just say this. You were created in the image of God, all right? When you look in the mirror, you're seeing a glimpse of that image of God. Every one of us do. We're all the same that way. But you know what? When you look in the mirror, you see a unique individual. There's nobody else just like you. Nobody. I don't care if you're identical twin or whatever. There's nobody just like you in this whole world. Nobody. You're unique like that. And that's the way it is for a church. There is no church just like us. If we were to look in the mirror, we are created as God's people, and we have this same vision as everybody else, but we were created uniquely. God has put people in this church with unique talents and gifts and abilities. And He's done it for a reason, because God doesn't do anything haphazardly, and He doesn't make mistakes. And so what He does is He puts us together and He says, "Now, here am I, will you follow Me?" One of the greatest mistakes a church can make is to look at other churches and see what they're doing and then try to do the same thing. You know, this really has kind of been the model for churches for about 10 or 20 years now. What happens is a church like Saddleback out in California, or Willow Creek up in Chicago, or one of these big churches will, and they'll just take off and they'll be doing a lot of awesome stuff. And so the pastor or the staff or somebody else maybe will go to a conference where they say, "Okay, this is how we did it. You know, this is how Saddleback grew to be, you know, thousands and thousands of people in just, you know, a few years or whatever." And so then the pastor, staff, or whoever will come back and say, "Well, this is the way it's done, because this is the way they did it out in California, or this is the way they did it up in Illinois, or this is how they're doing it in Houston, or this is how it's happening in Lake Jackson. And so since it worked for them there, then that must be what we need to do here." And as a result of that, churches have literally been torn apart. Why? Because they got man's vision of something, but they never got God's vision for themselves. They never did. And what we're looking for here is God's vision for us, because we are unique. That's what I mean when I say it is a reflection. There is no other church that will have the same vision of God. It's First Baptist Church of Brazoria. And so God's vision for us is revelation. He gives it to us, but it is a reflection. And by the way, let me just talk about you as an individual for a second. In that sense, another great mistake is, as an individual, to try to be like somebody else, because you can't be. And what happens to a lot of us, we look around, we see somebody and they really got it all together, and we think, if I could just be like him, if I could just do that thing, if I could be like her. And it never works. It never works, because God created you uniquely, and He created us uniquely together. And so God's vision is going to be a reflection of what He's already done as He's put us together in the body of Christ. Let me give you one more word and we're done here. It's the word requirement. God's vision for us is a requirement. It's essential. Look back at that verse in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there's no revelation or there's no vision, the people cast off restraint or they perish. That word literally means to run, that perish or cast off restraint literally means to run amok. It's talking about somebody that's going here, there, whatever, just going crazy. It's kind of like, and I mentioned this in the first service, and my wife said, maybe you shouldn't use that illustration again, but it communicates, honey, so I've got to. It's kind of like when I was a kid. I was about 6 or 7 years old, and we were living in South Plains, Texas. My dad was a pastor of South Plains Baptist Church. And what people would do when they weren't able, they didn't have any money to give, they would, you know, bring the pastor produce and food stuff. And sometimes it was live food stuff. And so on this one occasion, we had some folks bring us some chickens. We didn't have any place to put the chickens except the freezer. And so we were going to take care of these chickens. And my dad reached down. We went out there, and I will never forget this, indelibly marked in my mind. He reached down, and he grabbed the first chicken by the head. And then he twirled it around like that, and he popped it. And the head was left in my dad's hand, and the chicken hit the ground without its head. He wrung the chicken's neck. That's what he did. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a few people. Anybody actually wrung a chicken's neck? Okay, there's a few people who have wrung a chicken's neck. Now, when you do that, what happens to the chicken? He doesn't have a head, but he doesn't know it. Nobody told the chicken. I mean, you know, you ought to tell him first. Hey, man, you're about to lose your head. You probably ought to just die. But he doesn't do that. And so what happens to that chicken is he begins to run around. But without a head, he doesn't know where he's going. He can't see anything. And so he'll run into a tree or the side of a building or, you know. And out behind our house there in South Plains, there was a cotton field. And most of those chickens ended up out in the cotton field. And it was little Greg's responsibility to go out there and pick them up. Okay, Greg, go get that chicken. Because sooner or later, after running around, running into stuff, the chicken would die. I mean, he would realize, hey, I don't have a head, I guess. And he would just, you know, kind of keel over dead. That's what happens when you don't have a head. You know, sooner or later, you die. That's what happens to a church. It doesn't have God's vision. That's why Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said, without vision, without the revelation of God, without the people of God getting it, they cast off restraint. They run around like chickens with their head cut off, and they end up perishing or they die. That's why I say that God's vision is a requirement. And do you know something? If we look around at churches today, there's a lot of churches that are doing a lot of stuff. Be careful now. There's a lot of churches doing a lot of stuff. They're staying busy and they're kind of running here and there and doing this thing and that thing. Many churches today are being torn apart on the inside from strife and turmoil and fighting and backbiting and all that stuff, even though they're busy doing stuff. Why? Because they've never got God's vision. And when you don't have God's vision, you've got a man's vision, or you've got somebody else's vision, some other church's vision. And you might run around for a while with your head, like a chicken with your head cut off, but sooner or later you're going to die. And there's a lot of churches out there that are dying because they lack God's vision. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that what is on my heart today is that we would not just be doing a lot of stuff, even good stuff, that we would not be like chickens with our head cut off. That doesn't honor God, and it's not what God wants for us. God's desire for us is to bring us together as His people, under His head, because He is the head of the body. And He wants to give us this grand and glorious vision of Himself that we might know who we are and what we are and follow Him. Brothers and sisters, if we miss it, we'll die. I want you to know something. I'm going to make a commitment to you today. I will never stand in this pulpit and tell you what my vision is for this church. I've been asked that. Brother Greg, what's your vision for the church? I want you to know, I don't have a vision for this church. That might surprise you, but it's true. I do not have my vision for this church. Never have. But I tell you what I did do. Not long after I came here as pastor, it's been several months ago now, I got our staff together, Mike and Chuck and John, and we just began to talk to one another and talk to the Lord. We began to look at who and what we are and what God had been doing and what He had been saying. We began to pray and seek God's face. And through that process, God began to reveal to us what He wanted to do within us. And we kind of encapsulated it in a little word or a phrase called Church Outside the Walls. I'm not going to tell you everything that means today or right now, although tonight in the leadership council, and if you're some type of leader in this church or something, I'm going to invite you to be here tonight for leadership council at 7 o'clock because I'm going to articulate it a little bit more. We're going to lay it out a little bit more. But we believe that God has shown us what His vision for our church is for the next several months anyway throughout the summer. Church Outside the Walls. And it kind of goes like this. Every member a minister and every minister a missionary, or you could just sum it up this way, every member on mission with God. In fact, we came up with a little thing. Yeah, you're going to see some more of that because Church Outside the Walls, the acronym is COW, right? See, Church Outside the Walls. Yeah. Meet more people. We believe that this is what God has laid upon our hearts as a staff for the church. That God is leading us to move beyond the walls. That we've done a pretty good job, getting here and organizing and doing stuff and inviting people to come. And what we ought to be doing now, or what God is leading us to do, is to take the body outside the walls into our homes and our neighborhoods and to our communities to meet more people. And that's where we believe God is leading us. That's what we believe is God's vision for our church. It's not Brother Greg's vision, and it's not Brother anybody else's vision. It's God's vision. Now just remember that without vision, the people perish. The people cast off restraint. We run around with chickens with our head cut off. We die. So, brothers and sisters, this morning I'm inviting you to catch God's vision for our church together. All right? That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm saying that it's not good enough for us just to have the uniform on and be out on the field. We've got to know why we're there and what we're doing and what God is all about in doing that. I'm inviting you this morning to join us, Church Outside the Walls, God's vision. Catch it. Father God, would You today just open our heart and eyes, our minds, Lord, our ears to You. God, I pray that You would help us to catch just a glimpse of Your glory today, so that as You are active or at work in this world and You show us Your will for us, Lord, there wouldn't be any question. We wouldn't even have to stop or think about it. We would just say, yeah, Lord, we'll go. Send me. Father, I pray that You would help us to be a church outside the walls. Father, You would help us to be people unique in our own way because You created us that way. But Lord, joined together under Your head, the headship of Christ, God, to be the church right here in Brazoria County, right here in this place. that you intended when you put us together in the first place. And so, Lord, today, that we just might catch your vision. Help us, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.